The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, all unaccounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Ah, that voice just warms the cockles of my heart.
It warms something, huh? Does it not or what?
I don't know what that word was.
I don't know what it means either, but I've heard it used.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is it a curse word?
No, is it like the aorta? What part of the heart is the cockle?
I have no idea. I'm not a heart doctor.
Okay. Tom Fair Tire text line knows, 802-655-6672, so try to get the answer to that. By the way, had a little shaker here in L.A., 4.6, huh? Not too bad.
Wow.
Nothing.
You had an earthquake today?
I think it was yesterday.
Or was that you just playing basketball?
It was only a 4.6, so it's really not a big deal. I'm sure you guys have been in earthquakes. You just probably don't know it, or maybe you didn't feel the lighter ones. 4.6 is nothing. It's when they get to the sixes, they really start shaking.
I've been in the an earthquake in California and Seattle.
Yeah, wow.
No thanks.
What were the numbers on that?
I don't know that they were all that bad, but I remember feeling it, and I remember our bookcase falling over.
Well, that's not too bad. Yeah. No. I was in someone that really shook, especially because my parents lived up in the hills. And, you know, they're supposed to say, oh, you're supposed to run under a door jam. Who's going to stand under a door jam while, the whole building is falling?
Right. So quick, get to the door jam.
Yeah, at least the door jam's made the best, they said. Okay, you stand under the door jam. I'm going to run for the hills.
I'm just going somewhere where there aren't any tall buildings, man. I can't even imagine. Oh,
Every natural disaster wants you underground, in a doorway, or in a tub. Those are the three places you're allowed to go whenever there's anything serious.
The only earthquake I ever felt in Vermont was I was in not a tub, but I was in the shower on a Sunday morning probably 15 years ago where I was living at the time, which was Williston. And everything just kind of shook. It was weird. I guess it was centered in the Adirondacks, but we felt it over here for literally 3 seconds, and it was gone.
There was one recently. It might have been last summer when you were gone, but I think it was when you were back. But it was out like 200 miles due east of us. It was due west of us. It was like centered out in like the Moriah area or Messina area, I thought.
When I was going over the Oakland Bay Bridge a couple months ago on my trip out west, I couldn't get over that thing fast enough.
Yeah.
It was just, all I could see was that vision of that car just plunging from the upper deck to the lower deck in the World Series game.
You have a bridge phobia.
Oh, it was awful. It's like I'm literally going 85 miles an hour over the Bay Bridge to get to Oakland as fast as possible.
We were talking today about what our phobias were in one of our meetings. We were talking about the hot air balloon festival that's in Stowe. You could not pay me enough money to step inside, not even just step inside a hot air balloon. There could be totally grounded. I wouldn't get in it then.
You won't even get in the basket.
Brady, I got video. Did you see the video I got about the hot air balloon?
Yes.
They land in the field behind me, but this one guy overshot the field, which I'm not really sure how you could do that in a hot air balloon. And I could hear him yelling, "We're coming down! We're coming down!" and so people are running out there, and he drops the rope. And some guys come in, and they start pulling down on the rope. He landed in the, you know how the sometimes there'll be an empty lot before they build a house?
Yeah.
He landed in the empty lot right next door to a house that was built. I go, that can't have been planned. You're not supposed to land there. You got to leave a little bit more room than just like right next door to your neighbor. Jeez.
Yeah. You're right. I would never get in one, but it sure is cool to watch. Like those balloon chaser, the family of the people in the balloon or whatever, and they drive around and just sort of wait to see where they plop down.
I am terrified of hot air balloons. Oh. Now, your phobia is bridges.
Well, heights.
Yeah, all
heights.
Gosh.
Oh, I don't even go near tall buildings.
What about a plane?
I am very uncomfortable, sweaty, and nervous in planes.
Really? Yes. Okay. So yeah. I'm not afraid of flying. I'm not afraid of that. I am afraid of falling over things. So, I will not get front row seats, in the upper deck at a game for fear of falling over trying to catch a foul ball.
Nice.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Like the monster seats. You'd never sit in that front row. Nice little 37-foot drop to try to catch a ball.
That doesn't feel quite high enough for me to be scared. But, man, when you're up there, maybe I'd feel differently. But, like, on my – the difference between the Fenway Green monster seats and a hot air balloon are a lot different.
Yep. How much do we have to pay you to jump on the netting behind home plate like that one idiot that was drunk?
Oh, yeah. That was like, that was before he was even born, Arnie.
If
there, that was a long
time.
You know,
you may not know, though, Brady. Some guy jumped from where, Rich? Like, not the upper deck.
No, it might have even somehow got into the press box at Fenway or something. I don't know how he got there, but maybe it wasn't even Fenway. But I just remember decades ago this happened. Nothing like a guy after 15 beers trying to crawl around on netting.
At least he had the net.
Well, that's what he was doing. He did it on purpose. It was like a dare. I don't know how much he got for that, but it better have been a hell of a lot of money. What do we have in the Tom Fair Tire text line, Brady? Because I don't quite see the first time Texter talks about an earthquake early morning.
That's a funny one.
That was at Burlington, was it?
Yeah, that's probably the one I'm talking about because it was about 2002.
No, Brian in Richmond said 3.3 in Burlington in the 2010s.
I think it means 10 years.
Oh, 10 years.
Yeah, so 10 years ago.
Oh, 10 years ago.
Yeah, but the one I remember in Williston might have been 02. Yeah, it was a Sunday morning, as I recall.
You want to hear a funny story about last night about how I embarrassed Jess without realizing?
Yeah. Oh, it's always good to embarrass the girlfriend.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah, I embarrassed her in public.
You guys still dating?
We are, but I embarrassed her in public.
Well, wait a minute. You embarrassed her in public at Elgato the night before or over the weekend.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo, a couple Coronas in, I was yelling about the Celtics. Yeah. That definitely happened. So last night, we're out somewhere locally. I'm not going to say where.
Right.
But we were out having chicken wings.
Right.
So we had chicken wings for dinner, and they were discounted wings, so it was great. You know, great watching the basketball game, having a beer, eating chicken wings. And she's like, oh, I wish I had a wet nap to clean my hands after. And I go, well, just go to the bathroom. It's right there. She goes, okay. And then she comes out, and I go, y'all good in there? y'all good now? So she's walked out of the bathroom after eating chicken wings, and she looks at me like, do you know what these people think I just did in there because of your big mouth?
Wow.
So she was just washing her hands, but apparently it didn't come off that way.
So that's twice in the last four days that you've embarrassed your girlfriend.
But I'm quite the catch, Rich, so it's okay.
Is that right? Is that what she says, or is that what you say?
Yeah, exactly.
At one point she might have said it.
Yeah, back in the early days.
Rich, Brady's a big star today. I don't know if you know that, do you?
This is exciting.
Yes,
yeah,
Brady, why don't you tell everybody, quarter of a billion viewers, maybe.
I was on national television earlier today.
Yikes.
I was on
headline news.
I was on CNN's headline news today.
Wow. What did you do?
I was a guest.
Oh,
5 minutes they talked to me about the youth sports culture and how it's gotten out of hand because there was a video of a coach who went after a parent with a bat. At a baseball game.
Oh, that's nice.
So
great.
They called me in. I have to say this, on Arnie's recommendation, they called me in to talk about it.
Okay, well, so Arnie was the big hitter here. Yeah.
Well, they called me, but I didn't want to do it. I'm like, you know, I always like to take the side. What am I going to say? He should have went after him with the bat. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I can't, you know, there's no arguing. There's no really... I'm like, parents should get all tough and ugly and, you know, all that.
Yeah, there's no devil's advocate in this argument.
Exactly.
Yeah, so get the bat out.
And I said, you know what? You really should call Brady. He used to coach. I bet he's got some good stories.
Wow.
But Brady, they botched it up because they got the station wrong.
Yeah, they said that I worked at 101.2 ESPN. Which I don't
there's
think
no that, such thing.
There are no even
point two.
There are no even numbers in radio.
No, you can't get point two. It's point one, point this three, is, point five.
This is CNN national news saying 101.2.
Yes,
right, exactly. And what did he call you? I couldn't even understand what he called you.
He called me Brady for Frakes.
Frakes.
And then he talked over me the whole time.
Well, no, it was going smooth until like halfway through. And he never definitively, like, ask a question where it's cut off and you could jump in. And then you would try to jump in and he would keep talking. Then you would both stop talking. Then you would both talk again. And I like Mike. I've worked with him before. But, man, you get a guest on, let the guest talk for crying out loud, you know?
Yep. So I was on CNN.
Wow.
I didn't tell anybody except Jess and my mom. So we'll see.
Why?
Because I didn't know if I was going to botch it. It turned out. that they botched my name and stuff. Yeah. That's another, hey, everybody, I'm going to be on CNN, and here's my name mispronounced in 18
Brady,
different ways.
Brady
well, so
Fuquas.
What, though? Were you nervous or what?
You know what? I will say I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous at first. Once we got going, I was okay, but I was a little nervous.
Like quarter I would be of a mess.
Yeah, quarter of a billion viewers. Matt in Jeffersonville. I'll get that right. Brady on CNN, Slow Newsday.
Wow.
Wow.
Rough crowd.
Wow. Very rough crowd. Well, you're a big star now. It's only a matter of time before you get your own CNN show.
Is this something we can play back at some point on the show if it's only 5 minutes?
It was not. We'd have to ask for the audio. Maybe it'll appear in the online archives. I'm not sure.
Because I want to hear this.
Yeah. It would be fun because he did. I didn't even hear what he said on the last name. I'm like, I think he just mumbled it on purpose because he wasn't sure.
That's about right.
Busy show, Brady. What do we got going on today? What's coming up tonight? And what are we talking about today?
Well, trivia night tonight at the Burger Bar in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30.
Yes.
And this is the night you want to be out because we're watching Red Sox-Yankees there, okay?
Yeah.
Red Sox-Yankees on all the TVs. We got the college kids finishing up school. We got the locals that want to come out and watch the game. So that is the spot to go. And, Rich, I mean, you know as well as I do, the food is great. The half-price appetizers and the beer specials, $2.50 for Miller and Coors.
Hello.
Woo! That's where I'm at.
Okay. Wait a minute. Twist my arm. So and look, I can't tell you how many people I've said, well, I'll go when the weather's a little better. Hello.
Yeah.
You could not have a nicer day than this.
78, no clouds in the sky. Oh, it's the spot to be.
Look at you guys.
Remember, mistake of the day. If you want to get in, you can. Brian in Richmond was our guy yesterday. So 802-655-6672. It's brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
And we've got a little bit of sock stuff to give away, or at least qualify for.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have, trust me, as the show goes on, you're going to hear that cue to call for that ultimate Fenway fan experience. We'll talk about Tom Brady and Gronk's contracts, Tom Caron of Nesson at 435, Sox and Yanks. But first, the Celtics are still in firm control, Arnie, but they did not close it out yesterday, falling by 11 to the Sixers. I said the difference would be 11. I just thought the Celtics were going to win by 11.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why, and I really shouldn't be disappointed. I am disappointed. You know, I got to tell you, there was one point with about like 9, 10, 11 minutes, or just the start of the fourth quarter, let's say, and I know they had opened up a 16 or 18-point lead, but it got down to 10. I'm not sure the exact time. And the Celtics over and over again just couldn't get that bucket. They were shooting three-pointers like they were going to ban three-pointers tomorrow. It was like it was going out of style. And they never got that one to get them down to 7 or 6 to make a run at it. That being said, it wasn't a good game. It's a game where you take the tape, you throw it away, says don't even think about it. We're going to end this at home and win it in 5. It doesn't really make a difference. Yeah, you would like to end it at 4. But overall, you knew it was going to be tough to get the sweep. Philadelphia, I'll give them a little bit of credit. McConnell, how about him? Oh. Remember in Arizona, my Arizona Wildcats, always loved that guy.
Yeah.
He was a transfer, did 4 years at Duquesne, transferred to Arizona, and he was a big part of our team. I didn't know he was going to be this good in the NBA, but I thought he'd make it. He was the difference maker there.
Well, that's a career playoff high. I mean, that came out of absolutely nowhere. I mean, Simmons had a 19 and a 13. Embiid had his double-double, though he didn't shoot well. But, I mean, you talk about Dario Saric and T.J. McConnell. Who saw 44 points and 15 rebounds and 9 assists coming out of those two? And McConnell made it look so easy. It's like defensively, it's almost like once he got into the paint, everybody just cleared out.
The difference in this game, and we talk about this a lot, if you talk about the formula for winning games or the formula for pulling upsets, and I don't even know at this point which one the upset would have been because the Celtics had won 3 straight, but they were on the road against a team with their backs against the wall. But the Sixers get the uncharacteristic performance from McConnell. They get the uncharacteristic performance from the series from Saric. And then on the Celtics side, you see the guys that have been mainstays for them scoring-wise just didn't score. Al Horford only had 10. Then you look at Rozier with only 11.
Yeah.
You look at the fact that they just didn't get a ton from some of their key guys. I mean, Jaylen Brown only had 8 in 23 minutes.
Yeah.
So the Celtics didn't get big point numbers from guys they've gotten big point numbers from.
But But you still felt like they were all they needed was that one shot. Like I said, it was right there at 10. They must have missed like 4, 5, 6 shots to cut it to within 7. At that, who knows what happens? Who knows if Philadelphia doesn't start choking this away and they get all nervous? By the way, Simmons, no great shakes here. What do you have, like 16 points? He had a couple of dunks in the game. Otherwise, he only had like 4 or 5 field goals before he had that late dunk. I've got to tell you, he really doesn't qualify as far as I'm concerned as a superstar. I think Celtics end this one next game.
No, I think they will too. But I mean, Simmons had 19, 13, and 5 last night. I mean, he was absolutely a factor in that game. But he got overshadowed by the two guys we mentioned that you wouldn't expect it from. The other thing, and I was talking to Brady about this before the show started, my first take out of that game last night was, man, was that physical. Yeah. I mean, there were 51 fouls called. There could have been 100. It was a very physical, rough game. Philadelphia came into that game very ticked off, and it showed in the play.
The things that I took away from the game were twofold. In the same line of vein of thinking of what you're saying about the physicality, is that Dario Saric made a commitment to going to the basket and utilizing his size. He couldn't do anything out on the perimeter offensively or defensively, so he started to assert himself and his big, wide body down low. He shot the fewest three-pointers of any game in the series yesterday, and the most free throws. That tells me there was a bit of a change in his mindset, and him getting 25 points was absolutely a key. And second, on Simmons, he was opened up a lot by TJ McConnell.
Yep.
McConnell made Simmons look really good because he was able to divert some of the attention away from Simmons. He was able to open up the floor for Ben Simmons and get him a chance to kind of roam around the basket rather than have to be the playmaking distributor. And that changes the way the Celtics play defense because they had to start to meet McConnell out high when he had the ball rather than just wait for the hoop and wait for Simmons to come into him. That totally changed things.
I got to ask you something on my own twisted mind note. Did you happen to watch the last 1 second of the game? I'm hoping I'm understanding this. Did you happen to watch the last second of the game?
I did not.
I did. Yep.
Okay. Did I miss something here? Did you see the Celtics? McConnell held the ball, and the 24-second clock was going to run out before the game clock, so there was actually 0.6 seconds left. The game's, what, an 11-point spread or something like that,
yeah,
right?
It was
game's
11.
Over.
Yep.
Did the guy from Philadelphia try to stop the ball from getting inbound at point in the backcourt? Did you see that? With 0.6 seconds left?
You know what? I remember there was 1 second left on the clock, yeah. And I was getting ready to turn off the TV. I paid no attention to anything like that.
This idiot on Philadelphia decides, I'm going to go ahead and lean against the Celtic player. They could have called a foul and tried to stop the ball from getting inbound. You're up by 11. There's a 0.6 seconds left, and you may get a foul, and you're leading in like that. I go, what the hell is wrong with people? I go, is there something I'm missing here? Is he mad at this guy? Is he trying to start something? I couldn't figure it out. Maybe I'm the only one that saw that. Maybe everybody else turned it off. If you saw that, please tell me. No. Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672, Brady.
I was too busy being distracted by that lunatic sitting next to the Philadelphia bench those two games with a towel and the long gray hair. You know the guy I mean? He's right next to the scorer's table.
I've seen him a couple times.
He was completely out of his mind the whole series. It's like, sit the bleep down, old man. Oh, man.
Unbelievable. All right, busy show. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, coming up next, Mike Lombardi, former Pats executive, said he thinks Brady and Gronk are fed up with their contracts. What do we make of that?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of people are talking about this. We'll talk about this. This is coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on
the local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's the Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Of course, Brady, the big TV star now.
Yeah.
Rich is there. Arnie's there. Big TV star he is, Rich, now.
Yeah, I was wondering what the crowd out on the porch was doing. I thought it was just because they were trying to enjoy the sunshine, but it turns out they're autograph hounds.
Right.
I can see Brady's like a sports anchor or something like that on the local TV.
Hi,
I'm Brady Farkas. Here's the local Plattsburgh team taking the field. I can see that, Brady.
I don't want to be on TV. I like just hanging out with you guys and
go
chatting for hours.
Hanging out with a couple of old men on the radio.
I would do TV if it wasn't so much work. If I could just show up like 15 minutes before the start of the broadcast and leave right after, I would do that. But
well,
I'm not
you
gonna,
can't. So.
Well, you never know. I did that in Dallas.
At least you don't have to comb your hair. That's a big deal on TV.
All right, get to what Mike Lombardi said, because he is the renowned expert. I can't believe that this came out of all time, so go ahead and get to this.
Yeah, former Pats exec Mike Lombardi says he thinks that Brady and Gronk are fed up and done with team-friendly contracts. And he's talking about Brady more so specifically. Yep. But he says, what I think going on in New England, and this is just my own instinct, I think when you've won 5 Super Bowls and you've had as much success as they have had, and they've all swallowed the we're not making money routine, we're not taking all the coin. They've done that, and now is the time when they're saying to themselves, it's money time. And then he goes, how could you look there and see Matt Ryan and what he's making, and you've got 5 rings. How could you see what Kirk Cousins got and not have it affect you? It's just human nature, right? You can't fault Brady for that, can you?
No. Oh, 100% correct on this. You know what I would like you to do, Brady? I don't know. You probably can't do it so quick. Maybe one of our listeners can, and they could text it on the Town Fair Tire text line. If we paid Tom Brady the most, let's say starting in year, we'll just start with the beginning of his career, every year, and then just add up how much he would have made then compared to how much he made now, I'm wondering how much he's left on the table. That's what I want to really know. How much is Tom Brady left on the table? Because he is perhaps the biggest bargain in the history of sports. I mean, I can't go back to Babe Ruth where you're paying somebody $27,000 a year, but I don't know if there's anybody that was worth more in the history. I mean, this guy's the best quarterback in the history of football, and he wasn't even paid close to that amount of money. He has to be the biggest bargain in sports history.
I can't believe people criticize him for this year after year after year. This is so ridiculous. You know what he got instead of he's made $200 million in his professional career. And you know what he's got instead of more money? He's got 5 rings. And if you think about what Tom Brady is and what matters to him deep down inside, it's the rings.
Yeah, but does it, though? If Mike Lombardi is saying he wants more money, and he's saying that you look at the contracts that are out there right now. Arnie, we just did this in the break. Tom Brady right now for next season only is the fifth highest paid quarterback, okay? Next season, he is fifth. But when you go through the list and look at how much money players got guaranteed in their contracts, he is 17th, okay? Tom Brady, when he signed his most recent deal, got a $28 million guarantee. Matt Ryan just got $94 million guaranteed. So there's a big disparity there, and I understand people sign contracts at different times and they sign different lengths, so that accounts for some of the difference. But nonetheless, he's still the fifth highest paid quarterback for next season. So I think for you to just say, oh, he only cares about the rings, but then Mike Lombardi says he's fed up with hometown discounts and his wife says he's underappreciated, he does have to care about the money a little bit, doesn't he?
But of course, once again, another guy just throwing something against the wall to put the word Patriots in and get ratings.
He's
and
a guy
so
who
forth.
Used to work for the team.
I understand that, but I mean, I'm looking at part you left out about this. Brady, for all what he is saying about how unhappy he is, when have those words ever come out of Tom Brady's mouth?
He said, I have
public. My
moments, I plead the fifth.
Okay, all right, but does that mean that he's unhappy?
He didn't say he was happy.
I think what that question was, all right, you got me there, but I mean,
well, wait, the grass isn't always greener. But, I mean, if Tom Brady was on another team, he wouldn't have had this career or anything like that.
Well,
so what is he all unhappy about? I don't understand why he would be so unhappy.
I don't think he's unhappy. I mean, I understand what Brady was just saying. Brady Farkas, not Tom Brady. We got two Bradys to deal with here in the conversation. But I really believe it's more important for him. And he's in a unique situation that we haven't brought up yet, and it's been brought up obviously many times. The fact that he is married to someone who makes more money in 1 minute than the three of us combined will make this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very unique situation. He doesn't need the money. He's got 5 oceanfront estates with moats around it.
Well,
when you're in a situation like that, wouldn't you just rather say, this isn't about respect. How much money do I need?
Well, let me ask you this then, Arnie, because this is how I look at it. I look at it and say, I don't know that Tom Brady is unhappy, but I do believe Tom Brady feels underappreciated. That has been out there. His wife said it in Tom versus Time. People have said it after the fact. And his desire for more money at least makes me think that he feels slighted now at this point with his contract. I happen to think Well, look, at this point, if Tom Brady wants one thing left in his career, it should be to win 6, 7, 8 titles rather than make another $20, $30, $40 million. I don't like the idea of Tom Brady wanting more money if it costs his team a chance to win more rings. But, Arnie, I throw the question at you because you've been everywhere. Does more money automatically to you always equal more appreciation? Like, if they gave him $15 million, does that just instantly make him feel appreciated and better? Now, it may cost him... You know, the roster may suffer around him a little bit, but would you, you're the one who's been everywhere. Tell me how, just exactly what more money does to you.
More money makes you, the more money you make, the more money you spend. You've heard that before, and that pretty much is real. But in Tom Brady, see, that's not fair in the real world. In the real world, you know, it's a big difference between $50,000 and $100,000 and $150,000 and $200,000. And that may seem small potatoes to somebody in the NFL when you're making $25 or $26 or $27 million. But we publish it. We make it a big deal. I mean, the first thing is, if I told you, so-and-so signs with the team. Forget about any sport. So-and-so signs with the team. The next question is, how much is he making in how many years? We make it like that. Now, I understand. This is the one thing that bothers me. Now that Tom Brady at this age asking for a lot more money, and you may have to give it to him and Gronk because you want Gronk around for 2 more years, that's going to hamstring the team. I didn't know Tom Brady was so selfish that he would start to ask for more money right now, guys.
No, he isn't, and he's not going to. I just think.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
You think so?
It feels.
I think Gronk
he's 41 when the season starts. I think he gets it. He doesn't need the money. He wants a championship.
I don't. But see, I would say that should be the attitude. But based on the reports that we've heard, and based on the things that people are saying, it feels like he wants the championship. And the validation of his skill set and resume, and he wants the money that goes with that accordingly. I think he can want both, but it doesn't feel like he only wants the title. Really.
But and when Giselle says that he wants to be more appreciated, okay, but what does that mean? Does he want Bill Belichick to say, you've been great, Tom, congratulations, you're the best, and I love you madly? Or does he want another $50 million? What is appreciated in Tom Brady's world?
Yes, and I think that's what I was getting at with Arnie.
First-time texter, what is the fair market value for Tom Brady this upcoming season? Is $30 million reasonable, all things considered? Of course. Well, is 30 things considered at his age? Don't you? Isn't it kind of like somebody's performance? It goes up, reaches a plateau, and then it goes down. Isn't that the way salary should be also, or no?
Not with Brady. when is that plateau coming? At 45?
I would say right now is $30 million guaranteed a fair number. I would say it's probably slightly lower than that. When you look at bonuses and incentives and all that, Jimmy Garoppolo could make $43 million this year with everything included. It's not all guaranteed money, but he could make that, and Alex Smith could make $40 million. Other than that, nobody else is making $30. So I got to think there's a lot of incentives and signing bonuses and those guys' money to get it up that high. I would say, though, 27 to 30 is probably the fair market value for one season. Now, that's not a three-year deal at $30 million, but for 1 year, next year only, yeah, I'd say you're close to the neighborhood.
I just think Brady looks at it and he says, you know what, spend that extra $10 million on a guy that's going to keep me standing upright. I mean, it just seems like that's always been his attitude.
Now, I
don't know why.
Gronk?
I mean, after 18 years, why does it suddenly switch now? I'd love to know what Giselle meant by appreciated, because if it's money, then that changes the equation.
Now, what about Gronk, though?
That's a different story.
Right. Has he been underpaid all these years? I mean, how much has he left on the table? And he's not married to a supermodel making all types of money. Right. So what about that?
Well, he signed his deal at a much younger age. He signed a long-term deal at a younger age, and he also signed it. The NFL has changed the rules now on how many years into the league you have to be before you sign a deal. So, Gronk, I got to look at the exact numbers. But he might have signed, like, his first big deal 2 years in. And that actually worked up to the Patriots' standards at this point. Gronk,
right.
You know, 23-year-old Gronk looks at it and says, wow, long-term security and a lot of money at a young age, that's great. Now, looking back on it, the Patriots say, man, if we hadn't paid him until his fourth or fifth year in the league, look at how much more we would have had to pay him. So the league actually changed it, so you can't sign an extension as early as Gronk did. Gronk did end up getting hurt by the process that he thought he was getting helped by earlier.
I think Gronk is a different animal than Brady. I just think Brady looks at it, as I've said for 3 times in the last 5 minutes, that you know he wants to win. He wants to stay upright, and he wants to be the greatest quarterback ever. I think Gronk, sure, he wants to win, but I think he wants to win just like any other player, and he also wants to be compensated for it. I think Gronk sticks around as long as Brady does, but I think he's going to make things difficult financially if he does stick around for a while, because I think money does matter to him just like every other athlete.
All right, as we get ready for the break, I just have to read Tristan Wilson's comments. Babe Ruth, during the Depression, was making more than the president, and when he was asked about it, his response was, "I had a better year than the president." So I remember that quote. Coming up next, we'll talk to TC. Tom Caron, he's next. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
If you think what Arnie says on the show is irritating, you should hear him during the commercial break. It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Tuesday. Sox and Yankees battle tonight at the stadium, 620. We'll have the coverage for you on 101.3 ESPN. And Rich, let's now go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, as he does every week at this time. It's our buddy from Nesson, Tom Caron. TC, how are you?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
Good. You were in town, and all I could see you doing was hanging out with your kid, who you've known and had all kinds of chance to hang out with for, what, 20 years now? And kind of didn't really hang out with us.
Yeah, 21-year-olds are a lot more fun than you guys are.
Wow.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you get a party, you might as well party with a bunch of young guys.
Well, we were looking for you. We were predicting your haunts, and we went to them, and you weren't at any of them.
Well, we were at a few of them, so I'm surprised we didn't bump into one another, because we definitely hit a few of them.
Okay, we didn't go to any haunts, but it sounded good on the radio.
DC,
I'm haunted today by my visit.
DC, Sox and Yankees tonight, not a pitching matchup that ideally favors the Red Sox, Pomeranz and Severino, but what do you make of the series as a whole coming up?
Well, yeah, I mean, the real downside there is the pitching matchups. You'd like to have Chris Sale in one of these games, and you don't get him. But I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Yankees are flying high, 15 out of 16, finding different ways to win. You know, we thought they'd slug their way to win this year, and that hasn't been the case of late. They found ways to come back. Gleyber Torres has been an unbelievable addition to this team. Comeback win. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves, and they've got their best pitcher on the mound in Severino. So I think you certainly got to give them the edge for this game. But I just want, you know, 2002 was the last time they met with the best two records in baseball. So this hasn't happened in a while. It's going to be good theater over the next three nights.
And, of course, this being baseball, you know what's going to happen tonight with Severino and Pomeranz. The Sox will win 8-1 because it makes no sense.
Yeah, right. The great pitching matchups always wind up being double-digit run games. With the fight last time around with Kelly and Tyler Austin and all of that, I really do think that all eyes are on this Major League Baseball. And that's the curious part to me, because everybody I talk to, you know, not with the team, obviously, but the former players and the analysts I work with, they all think there will be retribution at some point.
Wow.
And it probably won't be tonight, probably won't be this week, but someone's going to, you know, the Yankees are going to get a big lead in one of these games, and somebody's going to plunk somebody, and it's going to be back on.
You talk about pitching matchups, and David Price is going to get the ball tomorrow for the Red Sox, and a lot of people here already fed up with him about three starts in a row that are subpar. Some people are ready to cut him from the team. Others want him in the bullpen. What do you make of David Price?
Well, I don't know what to make of David Price. You know, he gave you a glimpse at the beginning with those two starts against Tampa Bay, and he said, all right, now we've got the guy back on track. And ever since that start against the Yankees, the one inning when he came out, and he had to talk about circulation problems, it's too cold to pitch, and all these strange little things we heard out of him. And since then, he's been brutal. And so, you know, he says it's not health. I would have bet the dollars to donuts here that at the end of the night, the last start, he would have said, you know, I'm not feeling well and we're going to have to get it looked at. But nothing like that. He says he's healthy. He says he's going to be able to work it out. So all we can do is cross our fingers and see, because it hasn't been pretty as of late.
Speaking of health, TC, how's Mookie? I see he's in the lineup, and that was great relief. The last guy on earth, if you're a Sox fan, ooh, heading into the Yankee series in New York, last thing you don't want in the lineup is Mookie.
No doubt about that, and it was a really good sign yesterday. They had optional treatment on the injured players, and he didn't go in at all to the ballpark yesterday. He told them he was fine. He didn't need treatment. So Alex Cora, I know, was happy to see that. Not only did he say he's ready to play today, but he didn't even come in for the extra treatment on the off day. So he's good to go. He's at the top of the lineup. And, you know, you're right. I mean, right now he's the MVP of the American League, and that's saying something considering how good Didi Gregorius has been. But Betts is the best player in the game right now.
Tom Karen of Nesson joining us here as he does every week at this time on the Huddle. Let's piggyback off that point. A National League executive told Buster Olney he thinks that Mookie Betts is the best player in the AL period right now. Forget Didi Gregorius. I'm looking at Mike Trout as still being the best player in all of baseball. Do you think Betts is better than Trout, or do you just think for a month he's been better?
Well, I think certainly for the month he has been better, and I think that he's in a position that by the end of the year he could be better than Mike Trout. And I talked to a scout about this last week, and he had an interesting point. He goes, listen, Betts is delivering the offense like he did 2 years ago when he could have made the argument that he was the MVP. And he goes, even if you want to say it's a wash, because it's no more than that, it's not like Trout has better numbers in any area of offensive breakdowns. Right now, Betts is topping him everywhere. He goes, even if you want to call that a wash, Betts is a better defender. And everybody agrees with that. He goes, so I got to give Betts the nod. So it's not out of the question to say he's a better player than Mike Trout, which is amazing considering that Trout has been the unanimous best player in baseball now for a few years.
You see, we talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday, and we pretty much agreed it's a bad idea. But what's your thought on maybe kicking the tires on Matt Harvey?
It's a bad idea.
Yeah. 3-for-3.
Yeah, I there's just too much going on there. And, you know, if your pitching was really a mess, I would take a chance. And somebody will, because there's still a lot there. But the attitude and the baggage and everything that goes along with him, I would worry about that being so disruptive. And the Red Sox right now are really a filthy team. And even with a couple of question marks, Pomeranz and Price being at the top of that list pitching-wise, I don't need his whole act being dropped into the middle of the clubhouse when you get a first-place season going. So for this team, for the Red Sox, I think it's the wrong play. You know, for the right team, who knows? And you know, I know the Yankees said they weren't interested, but especially with Jordan Montgomery down, they could probably use a pitcher. But they're not, they've said they're not in this. So it'll be interesting to see who, if anybody, makes a move and works out a deal.
TC, let's move over to hockey. Bruins season came to an end the other night, losing to the Lightning in 5. What was your take on the series as a whole?
Well, the series was disappointing, obviously. You won game one, and you really, you know, sort of let them take it to you after that. I thought they didn't do enough on the forecheck. They didn't do enough to get pucks in deep, which is what I thought they did so well against Toronto, and get after it, keep that puck in the offensive zone and keep them 200 feet away from your net. I just didn't see that as this series went on. I think you take a step back and look at the bigger picture. I think you've got to be happy with the season. I really do. I think they're a young team, and winning a round is a big step forward. And now you're at the point after 2 playoff appearances. You know, you are now at the point like you are with the Red Sox this year, where going into next year, it's about how deep can you go? Can you contend to win a championship? Because it's no longer enough. You've proven you can make the playoffs. You've proven you can win a series. You're a young team, but now it's time to deliver. And to do that, I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about the defensive depth here, but I still wonder if they have enough on the top end of that defensive group. Do you need to make some kind of move to bring in a top 4 guy? And do you need somebody who can be a second line finisher? And, you know, you were sort of hoping that, that Rick Nash would bring that to the playoffs, and he hasn't. And you know, I thought that was a great move. I really did. I thought that would help them a ton. It didn't. It didn't in the playoffs. He wasn't there for you. So, that search will continue.
So what do you think of Brad Marchand's antics?
I hate it. I mean, I really do. I know it's funny and once or twice. I mean, I just, you know, if it was on another team, he'd drive you nuts. And I know you say that about a lot of players. But I just, he doesn't need it. Right. You know, he doesn't need it. He's a good player. He's one of the best players in the league. And we know that he's always played near the boiling point, but this isn't about that. This isn't about having a nasty edge. This is just about, you know, I get it. You're trying to get under their skin, but, you know, you do it, and basically everybody, even your own fans, look at you and saying, really? I mean, let's move on. It's disgusting. I can't believe nobody's dropped him, and I know that's what he's looking for, and they were smart to be disciplined and not let it get to him. But my goodness, I've never seen anything like that, a guy repeatedly doing something like that.
What's amazing, TC, is that, I mean, look, I find it disgusting too, but when Lance Stephenson blows in LeBron's ear, he's a cult hero. Brad Marchand does this, and he's the guy who should be run out of hockey. I just find it interesting that two acts so close to each other in what they actually are have that big of a disparity in how they're viewed.
Well, it's in part who you do it to. It's in part the sport you play, right? I mean, hockey has always sort of held itself to a code of honor. And it's the repeat effect. You know, he's gone from, a couple of slight licks on the neck to just a big old slurp through the nostrils last time around. I mean, it was, I want to stop before he starts French kissing guys in the middle of the game. I mean, it's escalating. That's my concern.
Yeah, that's the difference between Stephenson and Marchand. There's transfer of fluids going on here. It's just not a good thing.
Exactly. That's a two-way issue, too. I mean,
I'll tell you what, though. One of these games, it'll probably be some obscure game on a Tuesday night in the middle of Vancouver next year, in the middle of winter. And the team is going to say, you know what, take the five-minute penalty and the two-game suspension. Just deck him. And I'll tell you, somebody's going to have to replace his face because they're going to do a number on him. And it will happen one of these games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it can't happen in the playoffs. You're right about that. So, someone's going to step up for the good of the sport and try to rearrange his face. It's just not a good look. You sort of saw Chara at one point kind of giving him a little bit of a talk. And I don't think his teammates would like it. And it really, the first time around, Toronto was kind of a little bit funny, and his reaction to it was funny. But this one, I mean, it just, like I said, he started from the chin and ended up on the forehead, and I was over it.
All right, Tom Karen of Nesson, he's our Red Sox and Bruins insider, with us every week at this time. TC, we appreciate it, and next time you're in Burlington, come and find us.
Well, hopefully next time I'll be there a little bit longer. So
there you go.
Have a little time to do something. But I had to get him ready to go off to Europe with your intern there.
That's right.
Yeah, we had to sit down and plan that out. So it's all good.
TC, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Next time.
All right. He hates Brad Marchand's antics. We'll bring Arnie back into the conversation next. Gone but not forgotten, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Minier Funeral Homes and Cremations. That's next on The Huddle here on a Tuesday on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Minier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, welcome back. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Minier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. A family's love is forever. Feel free to contact them 24/7 at Elmwood Minier. Even has affordable options for your pets. They have sports-themed burials. Give our friends a call, Elmwood Minier. All right, guys, let's start things off. There was no good deaths today. I was looking around. Nothing stood out. Very rarely does this happen. It's like back-to-back weeks we don't have any good deaths. Guys, I'm
sorry.
Bummed out.
Yeah.
Well, I had to go with a couple teams then. Put to death the Toronto Raptors and the Pittsburgh Penguins. I hope I didn't steal anybody.
Well, sort of.
By the way, did you see the tweet last night from the Stanley Cup's Twitter account?
No.
It was one of the best tweets ever. I'll list it as a top five tweet of all time.
Oh, wow.
Who knew the Stanley Cup had a Twitter account? But the Stanley Cup has a Twitter account, and it tweeted the Penguins. So it said, "At Penguins, we've had a great two-year run, but I think it's time we see other people." And that was it.
I love that.
So
I love that.
That was a top five tweet.
Yeah, you guys got mine. I was all excited about this one. Gone but not forgotten. The Washington Capitals as playoff chokers.
Yes.
I couldn't care less about the Washington Capitals, but yep. I was hanging on every minute of that overtime. And when Evgeny Kuznetsov put that thing, great pass, by the way.
Off a turnover, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
In the defensive zone?
And as usual, it happens so quickly. But Ovechkin let him perfectly, goes in, beats the goalie, and I love it. The whole party went over towards the side with, you know, where you could see all the Pittsburgh fans just turning around, and they looked a little like the 76ers fans after game three the other night.
Pennsylvania, a sad state yesterday.
But it was great. That's the 20 years of never getting to the conference championship round.
Wow.
And this is the Capitals. This is a team that often has the most points in the league. They're somewhere in the top three. This is their first conference final since 1998, so congratulations. The Caps are, in fact, not chokers.
What were the odds that Ovechkin and Chris Paul would get out of the second round? You could bet those things, man. That'd be great.
This reminds us of a conversation we had in January. Who would you rather be? Would you rather be the fan of the team that is the choker, like the Kansas City Chiefs have choked in the playoffs, or the Capitals? Or would you rather be a fan of the Mariners, who are never in contention?
We've had this talk. Yeah. I think we talked about it last year.
We talked about it in January when the Chiefs lost to the Titans. would you rather be a – it's such a great debate because would you rather be a fan of the team that breaks your heart consistently or the team that never puts you in an opportunity to break your heart because they're never any good?
I don't know. When I think of the I know it's not this bad, but when I think of the team that never makes the playoffs, I think of Charlie Brown just losing after losing.
That was your answer in January, as I recall, too.
Losing. I don't know. I don't know if I can handle that. Give me some love. Give me some playoffs.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I'd rather be a fan of the playoff chokers.
Glenn in Moncton came in and said the play-by-play of that goal yesterday was awesome.
Classic.
How could it not be? Because Doc Emrick was on the call.
It is Ovechkin moving back. He gets it on to Kuznetsov, moving on in. He scores! The Capitals have made it to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time in 19 years. The defending champs are defending no more.
Doc Emrick is just the best.
He is, and you could just hear, because they have the boards mic'd, you could just hear all the players just piling into Kuznetsov. Oh, it's great. Is there anything better than overtime playoff hockey, man? I was screaming, and I couldn't have cared less who won the game.
Real quick, my gone but not forgotten today, I'm going with two of them. One is Mark Ingram, suspended 4 games by the NFL for violating the PED policy, so Saints running back out. You fantasy junkies are going to be pumped because Alvin Kamara now gets a much better slate to start the year. And also, my respect for Rodney Hood. I defended that guy when the Cavs got him, but refusing to go in the game yesterday, get out of here. That's it.
It is LeBron. That's all the Cavs are right now, although Love had played well in that series. But yeah, it's never been more of LeBron's team than it is right now.
Hour one in the books. Brady will have a SportsCenter update. We'll come back. We'll get you ready for hour number two on this Tuesday. Thanks to our friends over at Edmund Vignier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. A family's love is forever. Feel free to contact them 24/7. I feel like I just said Brady's last name. Edmund Vignier has affordable options for your pets. Hour two coming up. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN Network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Rich is here, Brady's here, Arnie's here. It is a Tuesday, 8th day of May. I'm throwing in more dates there, Rich. I know you love when I throw in the dates out there. By the way, did you screw up, Rich? Did Rich screw up something?
Impossible.
Brian in Richmond on the Town Fair Tire text line says you did, but I don't know what exactly you said.
He sits out there and waits for me to screw up.
Well, here's the thing. Rich did screw up, but Brian's text is also a screw up. So
I know that's why the text doesn't make sense.
Rich, you said it was 20 years, and that call by Doc Emrick said it's been 19 years. So
that's a mistake of the day.
So Brian qualified yesterday.
But he doesn't get credit for it though. He doesn't get credit because in his text he writes mistake of the day. Rich said 20 years of 19. More cap finals. Replay said 20.
I don't
so
even know
didn't
what
even
that
get
means.
It right. Yeah, that doesn't even make sense. No soup for you.
Hey, I gotta ask you, if I walked in or any of us walked into the boss's office tomorrow and said, you know what, it's been a great ride, but I'm done, what do you think the severance package would involve? What just take a guess.
Boss, are you listening right now? I don't.
I guarantee. I know what the answer would be, and I love my boss to death. I've been with him forever.
Nothing?
My point being that Chris Day received $142,800 just for resigning from UVM's women's basketball team. That just came out.
That's pretty good.
That's not a bad deal.
First of all, I think he should have got. Didn't he have a 3-year deal? And pretty much, I think he stepped on down before that investigation got any further. I don't know, but that seems kind of fair to me.
I'm not saying it's unfair. I'm just saying, can you imagine me walking into the boss's office and saying I want $142,000 for a severance package just to leave you?
I got paid $100,000 just to not talk on the radio. No, I'm serious.
How many listeners would pay that now? Yeah.
Maybe if we pool all our money.
Yeah. I was in Phoenix. I had a year left of the contract, and they were trying to force me out. We were getting into it. I said, look, you're going to give me that last year. I think they owed me like $150, and I said, I'm going to be a human being. I'll split it with you. Give me $75. Otherwise, I'll take you for the whole $150, and you don't want to go up against my brother-in-law. He's a big attorney. And I go, and have my money ready by 5 o'clock that day. Yeah,
unreal.
And guess what? It was ready. They had a check for me ready.
Well, if money mattered, I wouldn't be living in Burlington for my whole life.
I was kind of bummed that I was getting fired, but after I picked up the check, it didn't bother me that much. You know, all of a sudden, I'm not that upset about it anymore. I'm over it. Everybody gets fired at the radio, so I'm over it. So, yeah, it was no big deal. So, sometimes you get lucky like that, right? Sometimes you get the big money. All right, Ed Brady, big start today, headline news. You got a big TV career ahead of you, right, Brady?
He just showed me. Can you put that back on your computer? He just showed me the screenshot, or whatever it's called, of him with this slick-looking guy. Who's that?
Mike something with a G.
Mike something.
Mike Milano, I think it is, or something like
that.
Yeah,
he's got a million-dollar suit and perfect hair, and there's Brady.
Yeah,
talking live to the planet on CNN earlier today. Not bad.
That is good. I mean, think of actually more than a quarter of a billion viewers probably on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and on the bottom it says Brady Farkas. They spelled it right. On-air host 101.2 ESPN, Burlington, Vermont.
Didn't anybody pick up on that and say, you know, I don't think you could have a 101.2.
Exactly.
And
they're all these people at CNN at some point have gone through radio. They must know there's no such thing as 101.2 FM.
They also could have just Googled me.
True, too.
So
didn't they ask you what you want on the bottom of the screen, Brady? Did they ask you that?
Yes, and I typed it correctly.
What a 1.2.
Andrew and Wilson said, I will kick in $50 to get Arnie off.
All right.
So we got that going.
You
got to
start somewhere.
Wow.
We're working it up. Brady, will they call you? You think they'll call you again?
I don't know. They don't know my name or my station. Yeah.
Look at that.
I'm only CNN Brooke Baldwin. I can't do anything. I can't waste my time on the smaller stations on headline news. Yeah.
As he does a show in Burlington, Vermont every day.
I keep begging you guys, the three of us, to do a show on like local 2244, but you guys don't want to put in the work.
Well, I don't want anyone to see me. Hey, as my ex-wife always said, a face made for radio. So
that's the worst face out.
That is the worst joke in the world. Yeah. Face made for radio.
Yeah, I've heard it my whole life.
So have I.
After a while, you start to believe it. After 38 years,
wouldn't that be funny if we did a show and we pixiated Rich's face
to Brad Pitt?
Hey. Let's get to some breaking news.
Yeah.
David Price scratched from tomorrow's start
against
the Yankees. And it says, let's see here, it comes from Tyler Kepner, who covers baseball as a whole for the New York Times. He says, Sox scratched David Price from start tomorrow. Hand issues that bothered him in April have resurfaced. Rick Porcello goes tomorrow, Erod on Thursday.
Breaking news.
All right.
Rich and Brady owe Arnie an apology. Start there.
Well, if you ever had to apologize for all of your screwed up predictions in the past, that's all you'd be doing.
Well, you have to actually apologize more than once. One, yes, I was right about David Price, and I'm going to be right all along. He is done. For the most part, it is just a waste of money. Anything you give him, you might as well just flush down the toilet because he's never going to amount to anything as a Red Sox again. Two, now you're going to have to go out and get yourself that pitcher like a Matt Harvey or somebody because you can't take the chance of this guy having a lingering injury or somebody else going down. Like I said, you got to go after Matt Harvey. You didn't listen to me yesterday. Maybe you're listening today.
I'm not listening to you about Matt Harvey. No, as Tom Caron just told us, and I completely agree with him. And as I told you yesterday also, I would only take Matt Harvey on if he instantly accepted an assignment to the minor, something he refused to do with the Mets. This, whether we like it or not, this is a pennant race in May already. This team cannot afford to be having trial and error in their rotation or trial and error in their bullpen. And that's what Matt Harvey is right now. He is a reclamation project, and he needs to be reclamated down on the farm before he comes back up here. You're not bringing a bad attitude and poor performance in the middle of a pennant race, and I don't care if it's September 1st or May 1st, it's a pennant race right now with the Yanks. You're not bringing Harvey into that. He's not ready mentally as a teammate or physically.
Yeah, can you imagine bringing him in and pitching him at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
I mean, welcome. You don't have to go anywhere.
I mean,
across town.
I'm not going to say that David Price is done. I'm with you on the fact that, do I think David Price is ever going to be worth $217 million? I think that's a fair assumption. We can all say, no, he won't.
He's not going to be worth $17 million.
But do I think with that offense that they have there, and do I think that with good health, if he had it, he could go 15-9 with an ERA of 3.7? I absolutely do.
Well,
but right now, we don't have good health. That's the concern, not that he's horrible.
Well, you see, that doesn't even make a difference if you think he's going to be good and I think he's going to be bad or what he's going to do. The point is he's hurt. Now you can't take the chance of not having backup. Now what happens if somebody else goes down? Now what are you going to do? You can't just sit around and say, well, now we're in the hole. You've got to be proactive. You can't. You got to save for a rainy day, I guess is what I'm saying. You can't wait for, you know, for the injury to happen and then say, okay, let's try to get a deal, because then everybody's going to stick it to you because they know you're desperate. You got to go ahead and start getting some backup plans right now. Otherwise, you're really going to be in big trouble.
Well, I mean, you look at it now. You got Sale and Porcello, which so far, thank goodness for Porcello, has been so good as he's been. But when you're looking at Pomerantz, Erod, and you never know how long he's going to be healthy. And I guess Velazquez now?
Brian Johnson.
Oh, boy. That's rolling the dice right there with that number five starter. So, I mean, really, this team right now has a very solid 1 and 2, and then who knows what, 3 through 5.
Well, and remember also what you do have here as a positive play for you if you're the Red Sox. Given the climate of baseball right now, given how many teams are tanking, how many more sellers are there going to be at the trade deadline? Now, I know you don't want to maybe wait until July 31st, but these teams that are looking to lose, they may be willing to sell off some assets even earlier in the season here than usual. You may get a tanking team willing to give you a starter by Memorial Day because they're looking to lose. They're looking to shed money, and you're looking to make your team better for the long run, so maybe you can go out and find that guy earlier.
From Cincinnati? Baltimore, Texas, yeah. The White Sox, where are we?
None of them have anything for pitching.
The Padres weren't even supposed to tank with the moves they made. They're just horrible. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's on purpose or what. I can't even figure them out. Are the Dodgers going to want to be any sellers? I doubt it. With Kershaw, you heard about the injury with him.
Yeah, I'd love to get Rich Hill back. That'd be nice.
I mean, the Dodgers, sooner or later, do they want to carry all these high-priced pitchers when they're not going to be out of it, but certainly, you know, they're behind the eight ball right now at 15-19. I don't know if they're going to be sellers, though.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think they're in sell mode, just like I wouldn't think the Nationals are in sell mode. But, yes, some teams like the Reds, and the Reds are playing with younger guys, not so many guys they'd want to ship off. But now you're going to cringe when I say this, but the James Shields type who's out there for the White Sox, he will be available. Those kind of guys are going to – Derek Holland with the Giants.
Right, or Samardzija. I mean, but really Samardzija is the same thing as Pomerantz. You just have absolutely no idea what you're going to get from start to start.
You said Derek Holland's a bullpen guy. Because Shane says, you know, Madison Bumgarner, well, when he comes back,
Yeah, is he damaged goods at this point?
Well, the Giants going to go ahead and clear a spot open for him, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's going to be the outside guy? Look, he's the one that used to pick for the Texas Rangers, right?
Say that again?
Who did?
He's the one that pitched for the Rangers, Texas Rangers.
No, who are you saying?
Holland.
Oh, Derek Holland did pitch for the Rangers, yes. Then he went, he was injured for a while. He went to the White Sox, and then he'd been with the Giants this year.
Yeah. So, again, out of all the ones and teams we just mentioned, I got to go back to the Mets and Harvey, because he might have the best upside. He's not injured, and – you know, it's just a little bit of an attitude adjustment. So
yeah,
and, you got to do something.
And Cleveland's got a surplus of starters to a point, but I mean, who knows about Carrasco? And now he's hurting, and they've had some injury problems. Really, they're in the same situation, but they're not getting any hitting. But they do have Kluber,
But they're going to the playoffs because that division's horrible.
Right, that's what I mean. I mean, right now they're a 500 team, but that's not going to last.
I mean, Detroit will be looking to sell. The Royals will be looking to sell. You might be able to get some Danny Duffy from the Royals.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe you can go out and get somebody there. So I'm just saying,
not much.
There's going to be some people available earlier than usual.
Now, do you want a big name person like a Verlander type that maybe isn't having the best year, but it's going to cost you a lot of money? Or are you against that because of the tax, Brady?
Well, if you noticed Verlander's numbers this year, he's having a great year.
Well, he's talking about last year.
Okay.
Last year, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd rather have a player that's going to be an impact guy going down the stretch into the playoffs. However, I don't know that those guys are really out there right now. Until those guys wouldn't be available until the deadline, because as teams start to fall out of contention that they thought they were contending, then maybe you'll be able to get somebody. You know, if a Minnesota fell out of it, which has some arms that are worthwhile, if the Mariners fell out of it, that might have somebody to shed. If the Angels fell out of it, those guys will have impact players. If you're looking for some innings eaters that are healthy, that's where you're going to your tanking teams first.
Once again, I have the answer for the Boston Red Sox. You tell me the starter that you want, and I'm talking about any big-name starter, somebody that a team might not want to get rid of, a number two starter perhaps, which we would love to have here in Boston. And all you have to do is say, yes, we will send you Craig Kimbrel, and the trade is done. So you give us that number two starter, we'll give you Kimbrel, and it's all good. Are you guys okay with that or what?
Maybe a Paxton. I know you'd love that.
No, I don't understand why.
I don't get that question.
The Red Sox, why either side would do that.
Well, because one, we know that we talked about this just the other day. One, there's so many contracts to come up, you can't re-sign everybody. Matter of fact, there might be two people on the outside looking in, and one of them's got to be your closer, Craig Kimbrel, because one, you could maybe put Joe Kelly in that, who's been remarkable since the first day, I think, and two, that's the part where you could probably fill in the easiest without losing too much. So, and besides, Kimbrel, what you said, he had another year and a half, 2 years left on the contract, he's going to ask for the moon. You just can't give it to everybody, so trade him now, get a starter in return, move Kelly to the closer. That kind of solves a lot of problems. Am I nuts on that or what?
Kimbrel is a free agent at the end of the year.
Oh, boy, that's going to suck.
No tanking team is going to acquire him. They're not going to.
Not for tanking, though. I'm talking good team.
But if the Reds, so then it's a catch-22, Arnie. You want the Red Sox to acquire a pitcher that can help them win a World Series and then trade a pitcher that's going to help them win a World Series. The Red Sox wouldn't do that, and no tanking team is going to bring on Kimbrel. Hey, we're going to go give you a controllable good asset, and we're going to acquire a guy who's going to be gone in 3 months.
Well,
that's not going to happen.
Well, wait. Unless you can get a deal where they can work out an extension, and that's a possibility also. Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
No, I was just going to say, you can't get – I mean, I'm thinking of like a Dallas Keuchel or even a, God forbid, John Lester, someone like that. You know, somebody who could come in and help now, not be the number one starter, not be expected to be.
But they're on contending teams.
Right, okay, so Chris Archer is worth too much, but he's obviously not a contending – that was my point, though. Houston isn't giving up anything. The Cubs aren't giving up anything. They are sticking with what they've got.
But if you send Kimbrel in return – and they're able to work out an extension with him, then all of a sudden a couple of more teams and pitchers come into play because they want Kimbrel. He might be worth a lot to another team. Brady, am I wrong? You told me there were so many people that are going to be up in 2, 3, 4 years. Do you think the Red Sox are going to give Kimbrel the big contract after this year? I don't think he's going to be a Red Sox next year.
I don't think they're going to go obscenely high to keep him around, so I could see him walking. But this team is under such pressure to win now before all those contracts come up and guys do start walking away that they can't just go and sell off. You're the one who wants to win now, win now, win now, win
now. That's true. I went with Joe Kelly closing, I guess.
Yeah, but Joe Kelly's not Craig Kimbrel.
Well,
he's been good lately, but yeah, you never know what you're going to get control-wise with Kelly.
Who are those starters you mentioned? That Brady said, no, they're all in contention. You said Archer and all those guys.
No, not Archer.
Who would you rather
I mentioned Archer.
Yeah. Who would you rather have, those guys or Kimbrel? I'll give you a choice. Just take your choice if you could have it.
Right now, I don't know what Archer's situation is contract-wise, but I sure would love to have him in the rotation.
Look, yeah. Arnie, again, it's apples and oranges, okay? Because if I'm going to go acquire – this is what's so ludicrous about this conversation right now. The tanking teams will give you pitchers, but they're not going to be high-impact pitchers. We do get one on the Town for Tire text line that says Cole Hamels in Houston. Right. There would be – or in Texas, rather. There would be a big name on a team that's playing poorly that would probably be willing to dish out Cole Hamels' contract for some young prospects. You might be able to acquire a guy like him. Outside of that, you're looking at tanking pitchers that are all – fourth or fifth level starters, which is exactly the need you're trying to fill. And if you want the bigger name from the better team that's in contention, then I'm sorry, you're going to have to give up Rafael Devers, and I don't see the Sox wanting to do that.
Oh, slow down there, big boy. You have to hit the dump button on that. Hey, I'm not overpaying that much. I'm the one that wanted Devers up to begin with. Now you want to go and forget that. For one, for me, he wouldn't even be up on the team. He'd still have him in AAA.
No, but I can see. I mean, maybe we'll see what Toronto does. They had a good start. But, I mean, like a Hap or a Marco Estrada or something.
Teams don't trade in the division very easily.
No, I know. But I'm just trying to throw out names. Odorizzi for Minnesota, if they can. What? Although they've been beating up on the Cardinals the last couple of
days. One last thing. Andrew and Wilson said, no way Kimbrel brings back a starting pitcher. Am I mistaken? Is Kimbrel doesn't have a lot of value? I'm just, even if you did want to trade him and maybe you could sign an extension, does he not have a lot of value, Brady, like I'm thinking, or what?
He has a lot of value, Arnie, but he doesn't have value to a tank. Look.
Right, I understand to a tanking team.
Okay,
there's
so
a lot of other teams.
A tanking team won't acquire that asset because he won't be there in the coming years. Therefore, he's not going to sign the extension. If you talk about a team that's in contention, then I don't see the Red Sox, if the Red Sox are in contention, trading away one of the top three closers in baseball to go and get any fourth starter. I don't see that happening. This Red Sox team is under pressure to win now. Yes, for all the reasons we've talked about, Betts, Bogarts, Bradley, Kimbrel, they're all Sale. They're all going to be free agents within the next 2 or 3 years. You have to win now. And by the way, the Yankees are set up to win for another decade. So you better capitalize on the time where the Yankees are still young enough to have some inexperience. You can't go and trade Kimbrel for nothing.
If you're going to keep Kimbrel then and let him walk away for nothing or keep him and give him the big contract, which person are you not giving the money to?
I'm not giving the money to Bradley down the line. I'm starting
one.
There.
Well, that's an easy one. Give me another one. You need another one. That's the easy one. Who's the second one you're not giving the money to also?
I'm starting the line right there. I'm not giving big money to Bradley. And then I'm going to say that I was burned by the David Price deal, and I'm sorry Chris Sale's not getting the number that he wants to get. At age 30 plus, he's not getting the 7-year deal.
Goodbye to Chris Sale. Oh my goodness!
It's not goodbye to Chris Sale, but I'm not going. And JD Martinez might opt out, and that will leave me some big money.
That's a good pitcher and some pop there. I don't know. I'm not so sure that's the way I'd want to go. So we'll see how it works out. I'm kind of curious. Brady, what do we got coming up next? Lots going on.
Well, coming up next, let's move back to the Patriots. We'll get into Gronk and his possible new deal and how it could be structured.
You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. A busy Tuesday, eighth day of May. Look, Rich,
now it's his crutch. Yeah, he's using it like time. You are.
Yeah, you screwed me up on that one. By the way, first time texters. Fine. I'm glad texters are there for me because I don't have all the answers. I only have 99% of the answers.
Right.
First time texter said Houston is actually interested. With their needed closer, again, with the brilliance of Cole, I think they would entertain a trade for a closer for one of their starters. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that would be Keuchel, I would imagine, because they're certainly not giving up the first couple of guys.
Wow. I would love to do something. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but here's where you're wrong again, though.
I'm not wrong. I didn't send the text in, but go ahead.
Number one, is a team like Houston that's built to win the World Series for many, many years to come going to trade, again, a young, controllable asset for an expiring contract? They do need a closer, and if they were inclined, why wouldn't they just go to a team that's tanking or bad and just say, I'll take your closer, and here's some minor league prospects that we don't need because we're loaded, and you do need because you need to build for the long term.
I have an answer for that. You know, sometimes which is better, taking on a contract like Verlander, and I think they owe him a gazillion dollars, or maybe taking on somebody like Kimbrel where you could get him and rent them for about 3, 4, 5 months. Which is better to take on, Brady?
You're also going to go and give the Red Sox your one of your principal rivals in the AL a chance to beat you? I don't think so.
Well, okay. I mean, that I agree with you. I don't have an answer to that one.
You put Kimbrel at the end of that bullpen in Houston. That's just not even fair.
Woo!
I mean, why don't you just hand him the trophy now?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. If that does it for Houston, I would give up. But we'll see what happens.
I mean, maybe a guy, and I hesitate to say Colum A, because he's been so dreadful this year, although it was only for about 4 or 5 games that he blew saves. But, I mean, he's a classic example of a guy who had 47 saves last year for a team that doesn't need him, and that's Tampa. So maybe someone like him might make sense.
No, that wouldn't be bad. Wouldn't be bad at all. Well, we'll see if it plays out. You're going to let Kimbrel walk away because I don't think you're going to give him the money. So you're going to let him walk away for nothing. And I know you don't usually pull these big trades off in baseball, but he will walk away. You excited, by the way, Yankees and Red Sox, my friend, or what?
Yeah, I think we're all excited for it. And we're going to be watching tonight Burger Bar Trivia 7:30 to 9:30. So you can come on and hang out. It's going to be a good crowd. There's been a good mix every time we've gone there. You know, you get the Yankees on a few TVs, the Sox on a few TVs. Now we're going to get people intermingling together. Look, I'm excited for this series for a lot of different reasons, Rich. I'm excited to see how the thing I'm most looking forward to is how the youngsters for the Yankees respond to the moment. They're playing at home. They come in a game behind Boston. Luis Severino, for as good as he's been, did give up 5 runs his first start against the Red Sox, and he really struggled, especially in the first inning. Then you throw in Gleyber Torres, who's hitting nearly .400. Can he do that against the Sox? And Andujar. I'm excited for the young players on the Yankees to see how they do in this big moment. They've answered the call in a lot of places. How do they do it this time?
It's Gleyber Day. I had to play that one on SportsCenter locally the other day because I think that was his first home run, so I wanted to hear
it.
No, no question about it. These guys, it's like, I mean, it's funny because you can kind of see it coming. It reminds me, and I think of all people, Arnie came up with this thought, except it took the Celtics a lot longer, I think. But this reminds me a little bit of what the Celtics have done. All of a sudden, you could see on the horizon all these kids at single A, then at double A. Then you're seeing them tearing up Scranton Wilkes-Barre last year at triple A. And sure enough, here they are. And they have announced themselves very loudly. And it's transition time in New York. The difference is that you don't have to wait any longer because it's just happened instantly. Did anyone believe when they got off to that 9-9 start or whatever it was that was actually going to last?
No, I think we all knew that Stanton was going to get hot. It was just a question of when were others going to start to join in the party. And Greg Bird hit a ball to the moon the other day, they said, in a rehab game. So he's getting close to coming back also for the Yankees.
If I gave you money, who would you bet to win that division now in the AL East, the Yankees or the Red Sox the rest of the way?
Right now I would say the Yankees.
Yeah, I would too, because of the Red Sox back of the rotation pitching issues that got worse today with Price stepping down, or maybe better, who knows.
It's funny you said that because, you know, you won't let me get Matt Harvey. You won't let me trade Kimbrel. You came up with a reason to get another. You won't let me make a move to get another starter. And you just told me that's the reason why you're not going to beat the Yankees is because of the starting rotation. You won't let me do anything to help the team.
Yeah, but Arnie, it's a pain in the butt in the clubhouse with an ERA of 7. Matt Harvey is not the answer to the pitching woes at the back of the Red Sox rotation.
Stay in the way you are right now is not the answer, but you just told me you're not going to beat him with the
I'm not sure I agree with that. Pomerantz can't suck this much for the entire season, can he?
Yeah, I believe he could, to be honest with you.
This is a guy who was 16-4. What was
17-6.
17-6 with a 3.3 ERA last year.
Yeah, but we saw Rick Porcello go 22-4 and then be under .500 last season.
And
so
then you just told me Harvey with the 7.7 ERA, but yet you won't give him what he did 2 years ago or whatever, 3 years.
Arnie, the thing I want to ask you, and I couldn't believe Tom Karen, because we went back and forth on this on Twitter. I talked about this on Champlain Valley Game Night yesterday. There's no way to me that Mookie Betts is the best player in the American League. And I love Mookie Betts. I think he is unbelievable, and he's a five-tool player. It's not that he's not good. But Mike Trout is the best player that I have really been able to appreciate. Griffey is the best player of my lifetime, but he was out of his prime by the time I was 15 years old. Mike Trout, at an age where I can fully appreciate it, is the best player that I've ever seen. How do you and Tom Karen think that Mookie Betts is as good or better than him?
You know, sometimes it's not what you've done for me. It's what you've done for me lately and the year that he's having right now. I mean, it really wakes you up. It just shakes that he's just, and especially batting in the leadoff spot. I mean, this guy putting up the home runs the way he is, it's just phenomenal. And why are you trying to say right now, first of all, Mookie Betts is one of the biggest bargains in baseball, is he not, Brady? Guy's making like $10 million a year. That they find that in the clubhouse in baseball stadiums. That's so damn cheap right now.
If you want to give me who's the best bargain in baseball, then we'll have a different conversation. We're talking about who's the best player in the American League, and that's the judgment regardless of money. And to me, Mike Trout is, I mean, he's a multiple-time MVP. And what have you done for me lately? He had a better year last year. He won the MVP 2 years ago. And
he's got 12 home runs this year.
Betts has 13. So we talk about Mike Trout's going to have 100 RBIs. He's going to hit 30 to 40 homers. He's going to steal 25 to 30 bases, something Betts doesn't do as much anymore. He's still an elite-level defender with a good arm. And he's going to walk double the amount of times that Betts does. So therefore, he's going to end up with a higher on-base percentage. And he does it. Largely with this year a little bit more, but largely he's done it throughout his career with no protection in that order.
Yeah, his OPP is always high because he walks a lot. I mean, he's already leading the league in walks at 20. He's got twice as many as Mookie has. But, I mean, as of right now, if you're talking about stat-based MVP, it's a dead heat. I mean, Betts is hitting 355 and leads the league in home runs. What more can he do? And runs, I might add.
Betts is phenomenal. He's just not better than Trout.
No, right now, I would say they're dead even. Big picture and career-wise, I would say Trout has been a better player than Mookie, simply because Mookie's, what, 2-3 years behind him?
Yeah, it's remember, Trout did this at 19. Yeah. He started in the league at 19.
I will bet you this year Mookie finishes with a higher batting average, more home runs, more RBIs. Than Trout.
I'm not sure about the home runs, but we'll see. I mean,
that's
only
iffy one there. I didn't want to stop there, though. I wanted to put all of them in the package. But other than I didn't hear Brady say no. I didn't hear you say that, Brady.
Say it again. I was reading a tweet about David Price.
I said that Mookie Wilson will have a better
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Wilson. There you go.
He'll have a great softball.
I bet you he was going to get to that.
He's in a beer league where he's hitting 420.
Yeah. All these years, you think I would have said that a lot more. Mookie Betts will have a higher batting average, RBIs and home runs at the end of the year than Trout will.
I will take that bet with you.
The only thing is the iffy part is the home runs.
He will. You're saying he'll be better at all three. I'm saying he won't. I've got the odds, and I will take them.
Well, at least two out of the three, I'll take it. I'll say he'll at least get two out of the only iffy one is going to be the home runs. That's the only problem there. If he doesn't continue on this pace, that's going to be a problem.
Trout's going to have more stolen bases and a better on-base percentage. If you throw those in, I'll go 3 out of 5 with you.
He will have a better on-base.
I'm not sure about the stolen base category. I mean, what did Mookie have, 25 last year? And Trout went way down.
Trout's up again now.
Well, it's 6-3 right now. I agree. Mookie hasn't run much at all, which surprises me. But I got to believe that's going to change.
Hey, some people on Twitter just saying that they can't help but wonder, given the numbness in David Price's hand, if maybe he is a guy headed for thoracic outlet syndrome.
Or just doesn't like to pitch against the Yankees.
How long does that keep you out?
A year.
Wow, what a waste of money.
Oh, no. Wait.
No.
I'm
not talking about what he's done on the field, although it's been deplorable for the last month or so. I'm talking about the fact that he's just constantly injured now. That was not an issue when they gave him all that money.
Did I just hear someone say, get the Mets on the phone? Are we getting the Mets on the phone? Are we going to wait a little bit longer until it starts getting to really dire needs and we're really going to need somebody?
Yeah, okay, let's bring in that clubhouse tool with a 7 ERA. That sounds like a great idea. Let's mess everything up.
Well, it's too bad you couldn't fleece the Mets for one of their good pitchers and trade Kimbrel. Could you imagine if you were able to get, like, Syndergaard or somebody?
They're all going to be hurt by July 1st anyway, like they always
are. Wow! Look at that. Look at you just...
When have they not been hurt? I mean, they all get hurt eventually. That's the doom of the Mets.
I know.
Whether it's fair or not.
Yeah, which is why I said that's why you got to get somebody. And the fact that you guys don't have a AAA team, which... You left that bare. That's a problem now. Now you're going to be what? I'm dying to see who you're going to get as a starter, because I know you got to get somebody. Somebody's got to come up. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's got to come up.
It'll be Jalen Beeks.
That's who you're going to bring.
He has been the best starter at Pawtucket this year. Jalen Beeks.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I'm not looking forward to that. By the way, Brady, I just wanted to, I saw a baseball movie the other day with Freddie Prinze Jr., who's pitching for the Chatham A's. You ever see that one?
Yes, it was the one where they were on the Cape. Summer Catch.
That looked awesome. Yeah.
Summer Catch.
Yeah.
With Jessica Biel in it.
Yes. Good movie.
That's not a bad thing.
No, that's never a bad thing. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, now we'll get to the Patriots and Gronk's contract.
We really will.
Yeah.
Yes, we promise. Next, you are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Wow, I got the numbers right, not like headline news today. all right, Brady, you want to get into Gronk's contract because Michael Lombardi is saying that Gronk and Tom Brady not very happy with their contracts right now.
Yeah, saying that they're fed up and underappreciated, and they've taken team-friendly deals for a long time now, and much more so the case in Brady's case than Gronk. But here's the deal with Gronk. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's got $8 million this year, $9 million next year. Now, those sound like reasonable numbers. He's still well compensated when it comes to the tight end position, but he's not the highest paid tight end in the league.
Right.
Do you think Gronk deserves a reworked deal here?
No. No, absolutely not. He doesn't deserve a reworked deal. I'll tell you why. How long ago did he sign that contract?
He signed it after his second year in the league.
Okay.
Third year, actually.
Okay. By then, he knew how good he was. He didn't want to go ahead. He wanted the security. He decided, I'm going to go ahead. I want to sign this contract. You know, when people sign autographs, you know, they charge a certain amount of money. Why shouldn't you be held responsible when you put your name on a contract? That's what you want. Sometimes you outwork your contract. Sometimes you don't outlive. Sometimes you underachieve your contracts. Remember, Gronk does miss some time. He missed, what, 4 or 5 games? So, I think that's just about right. I want him to stick around for as long as Brady's, but that's not the question. Does he deserve a new rework contract? The answer is absolutely not.
The Pat side of me says, absolutely make this happen. We can't lose him under any circumstances. But that would be very hypocritical of me because you know where I'm at with this. If you signed on the dotted line, damn it, you've got to honor it. That's the way it is. If my boss came in here and says, I want you to sign a 5-year deal, then guess what? I've signed a 5-year deal, and I'm not going to come back after 3 years saying, well, that's not enough money. I want more. Too bad. You made the deal, and you have to live with it.
I think at this point, I think I could come to a reasonable conclusion here. So Gronk is owed $17 million in guaranteed money or in base salary over the next 2 years total. $8 million this year, $9 million next year. Arnie, what about this? What if I upped his guaranteed money this year and lessened his guaranteed money next year? So he gets more money now and he gets more money guaranteed for this season. And then if he is hurt, if he does want to walk away, well, then I'm not tied to him for next year with as much of a cap hit.
You're forcing him to walk away by making it. You're making it easier for him to walk away because of the money situation. And then you're taking a target away from Tom Brady. I'm not so sure that works out for the Patriot fans, to be honest.
Really? So if I gave him of that $17 million, just say I redirect it and say, okay, you know what? You'll get $14 million this year, and next year we'll give you $3 million as your base salary.
Why? I'm not sure why he would do that.
Well, he's looking for more money now, and if he's not sure if he wants to play, then
more money now doesn't mean less next year, though.
Well, what if I give him more incentives next year? Last year he played under a lot of incentives, and now he's like, I want more money guaranteed. Last year I played the game where if I do this and I play X amount of snaps and I have X many receptions and
I stay healthy
and I make the all-pro team and all that, then I've won something for you. Give him more money now as a reward for that, and then next year go right back to the incentive-laden deal.
Well, he wants more money because he wants the guaranteed money, but yet that's the reason why we're in this situation, because he signed the contract, because he wanted the guaranteed money. So he wants what he already got the first time around, and that's how we got in this situation. I think we're chasing our tail here, to be honest.
JT in Burlington says, Gronk deserves it. Leave the guaranteed money but increase his incentives. And I look, we can all look at that and say, yeah, that's fair. Give him a higher ceiling potentially. But Gronk, the player, doesn't like that because he's saying, look at what I've already accomplished for you, and you're going to make me jump through hoops to try to go and get more. In a perfect world, from a management standpoint, all contracts would be incentive-based. You would make what you deserve to make based on how you play.
Yeah, but make it very attainable. I mean, who was the guy in the Pittsburgh Steelers that as long as he didn't come in at 300 pounds or 250 pounds, he got like $250,000 and he only weighed 200 pounds?
So. Well, Eddie Lacy had that last year for
Seattle. No, that was real close. This had like a 50-pound differential because they wanted to just give him the money, and that was the way to do it. You could do something like that.
So what if Gronk just says, you know what, no, I'm not going to honor my contract. Can he just hold out and
you
just
can
not play?
Yes, yes.
Yes, you can hold out.
He can retire. Let him retire.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I understand he could retire, but what if he wants to play, but he doesn't want to play under these circumstances? Okay.
No, you can hold out, and guys will do that. That's what Dwayne Brown did last year, the offensive lineman, the left tackle for Houston. Cam Chancellor has done that.
Le'Veon Bell said he was going to, but didn't. So.
Well, he did it under the franchise tag. Okay. So that was a one-year deal.
If Gronk was really that unhappy, and let's be honest, he's not the kind of guy that's going to bite his tongue. So if Gronk was really that unhappy, what would be the first thing he would do? He would call up his agent and said, get me traded.
Through Rosenhaus.
That's it. And by the way, the next day he would be traded. So, because there'd be everybody lined up, and they would have worked out a deal. So that has not happened yet, so I got to think that Gronk is not asked to be traded.
And I'm amazed if Drew Rosenhaus is his agent. I mean, that's not a guy that likes to mess around.
Why he doesn't play games?
What's that?
They don't play games.
No, he sure doesn't.
Yeah. If Gronk picks up the phone once and says, Drew, I want out of here.
Yeah.
He'd say, are you sure? He goes, yes. Considered it done. That's what would happen.
Well, we've lumped this together with Tom Brady's dissatisfaction as well. I don't think Brady's going anywhere. I think he's fine. I think what it is what it is. Why change everything now? You get the best players out there at the best amount of money and have the best team you could possibly have. I don't think Gronk feels that way. Sure, he loves his Super Bowls and all his rings, but I think Gronk would tend to bolt more than Tom Brady would ever even consider doing.
I think Gronk wants to play with Brady, and he said that, basically. He'd be back if Brady was back. It was one of the first things we heard this offseason. I don't know. I'm not saying Gronk doesn't love the game, but I don't know that he loves it enough to just go and play anywhere. I think he enjoys where he's at, the stability of the organization, playing with Brady, but he also, he wants his cake and eat it too. He wants to only play for the Patriots, but he wants to be compensated like the top tight end in the league. And right now, he's making less next year than Jordan Reed of the Redskins, who really can't stay healthy. And then when you talk about annual value of contracts, Trey Burton of the Bears makes more than him, as does Jason Kelce of the Chiefs.
All right.
Travis Kelce.
There you go. Got it right. All right. When we get back, last story standing, I've got a good one. So as we finish out the show, you're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, guys, first, let's go ahead and give the mistake of the day. I think we should give it to Kevin in South Burlington, who corrected me when I said Mookie Wilson instead of Mookie Betts. Oh, come on now. I mean, it all counts. So that's the mistake of the day. Thanks to our friends over at Embroidery Works at Joanne's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. All right, guys. Yes, go ahead, Rick.
No, I was going to say, and of course, Mookie Wilson, two bad words in Red Sox Nation. He was the guy who hit the ground ball to Buckner, I believe.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
Ray Knight scored.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Thanks for bringing it up.
A woman in Racine, Wisconsin, pulled into the BP gas station and started to pump some gas. What she did not realize, I don't know if you saw this story, the gas station was not open yet. So you're probably wondering, wow, free gasoline. Not so fast. It seems that when the pumps or when the gas station's closed, the pumps at the gas do not stay at $2.75 or whatever they are. They get set to $9.99 per gallon.
Is that everywhere?
Look at Rich. You mean I've been paying that much stealing gas?
No, but I mean, is that common practice to make people have to really pay for it when they break the law by showing up when it's closed?
I think there's a lock.
Wow.
Or some that just don't work. But I guess these are old and Racine, and they set it to $9.99. So by the time the lady was realizing what was going on, she put in 6.4 gallons for a total of $64.67. So what did she do? She called the police and said, wait a minute, man. I'm not paying $64 for 4.6 gallons of gas. So
that's a stupidity penalty is what that is.
That's a lot of money. Can you imagine you're pumping the gas and you look and go, wait a minute, $9.99 a gallon? What the heck is going on?
But the fact that it took her that long to realize the number was flying up rapidly, it makes you wonder about her capacity to think.
Oh, I love it. All right, guys, I'm taking tomorrow off, flying back to Burlington, Vermont, and I will see you bright and early. No, not really bright and early, late in the afternoon on Thursday. So we'll be back and ready to roll. For Brady, what is coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night, by the way?
Well, we'll give you those Sox and Yankees lineups, and we'll tell you something that the Patriots are doing that is definitely making me look good.
Trivia tonight at the Burger Bar. Go on out. Who's hosting tonight?
Me.
Rich, Brady's hosting.
Yes.
So go out. Your voices are very the same.
What?
Go out and see Brady at the Burger Bar. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.